Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and usually I interview veterans about their civilian career. The goal is to give you advice, lessons learned, and possible career options to help you figure out what you'd like to do as part of your civilian career. Today, for episode number 140, I thought I would do a quick reflection back on the year of 2017 for Beyond the Uniform. Just a couple things that stand out to me in terms of ideas about what have come out of these interviews. And then the second part is just kind of an update on what 2017 looked like for the Beyond the Uniform community and what's ahead in 2018. So we'll go and just dive right in on this. And I realize that a couple of things I'll reference. It is right now December 29th. This will go out on some other day. But a lot of the interviews I've got lined up for January, I've already recorded in December. And so I'm probably going to reference some conversations I've had that are still top of mind for me that haven't been published yet. But don't worry, lots of great episodes ahead. So three things that kind of stand out to me right now. One is this whole thought of failure with veterans and the idea of being proactive. I think why this is top of mind for me is that I see that failure in a business setting is so vital. The ability to get knocked down and get back up, the ability to put something out, have it not be well received, and iterate on it, improve on it, and put it back out again. And this to me comes in contrast to my experience in the military, which was you want to avoid failure. If if your ship runs aground, not only is that possibly catastrophic for many lives, it is also career-ending. And so there's this tendency to really want to avoid failure. At least that was my experience. And failure was that the stakes of failure were so much higher than anything I'll ever experience in the civilian context. And so one of the things I'm trying to get my head around is how to reconcile these two, where on the one hand, in a military environment, failure is the end of the world. And on the other hand, failure in a business setting is so vital. And so I'm thinking of, like, how do you build up resilience? And I wanted to share five different things that I've read or listened to or conversations I've had recently that just make this a little bit more, I don't know, they seem to help me around this. And my intention is sharing that with you as listeners and that it helps you as well. The first was my interview with Todd Connor from Bunker Labs. And if you haven't listened to that interview, definitely do. I really enjoyed our conversation and very much respect the way that Todd spoke about his experience. And he talks about not caring what people think and playing the long game. I think those are two really good themes from his interview. And if you listen to his story, you know, you hear about his dabbling in politics, his dabbling in consulting, his dabbling in so many different things. And the line that stuck with me was something to the effect of, you know, the Alumni Association wasn't asking me to give talks at 12 different points in my career, and now they have me talking about Bunker Labs and his other work. And it's just interesting that, you know, he's faced so many different failures in his career, but he pressed through and he continued on, and that led to his eventual success. So I'd encourage you to listen to Todd Connor. I think there's a lot of gems in that interview, but particularly just trying to dismiss caring what people think about your career and think about you, just really trying to let that go. And then also taking the long game approach, which is, I think, a theme that will come through in these other ideas. Eric Stites, I spoke with previously, he had a lot of great resources to recommend for veterans and a lot of advice around being proactive, really just kind of diving in, taking accountability for your career, being proactive in reaching out and getting help. And, you know, why this factors in here, again, just my experience in the Navy, a lot of my activity was reactive. I knew that the training would come to me. I knew that anything I was required to do would come to me. And so I didn't have to be that proactive in navigating. That might not be true for your own career, but just based on the other interviews I've had with other veterans, it seems to be somewhat of a trend. And so I liked Eric's advice in his interview recently as kind of a counterexample of proactivity. The next example isn't anything to do with Beyond the Uniform, but for those of you who have listened to the show before, you know that this show was conceived kind of based on Tim Ferriss's podcast. And I don't listen to his podcast as much anymore. I do think it's a great resource. But another person I've been listening to a lot of, Gary Vaynerchuk or Gary V, he has a great podcast with some caveats that I'll get into in a little bit. But Gary Vaynerchuk recently interviewed Tim Ferriss, and I'll put a link to the interview in the show notes. It's an interview worth listening to. It's an interesting balance between two prolific podcasters, Tim Ferriss and Gary Vaynerchuk. But one of the things that I liked about this was Tim talked about getting out of your comfort zone and getting used to rejection. And one piece of advice that he gave people, and I think this would be such a great challenge for you as Beyond the Uniform listeners if you're willing to take this on, but he had an exercise of every time he went into a store, he would always ask for a 10% discount. He would be in the line at Starbucks like, hey, can I get a 10% discount on that coffee? He would be in line at a clothing store like, hey, I'm buying this shirt, can I get a 10% discount? And the purpose of the exercise is to get immune to rejection, to get immune to failure, to build up more resilience so that you don't feel as self-conscious asking for stupid things and getting rejected as well. The maybe more crude example is when I was in the Navy and single, one of my friends threw out this thing that was really helpful in our early dating life, which was, we're not leaving this bar until we all get rejected asking for 5 different girls' phone numbers. And the brilliance of this was making a game out of it where it didn't feel, you know, this was when we were still new to asking people out on a date, and the bar was the best venue for that at the time. And so it got us more comfortable going up, starting a conversation with a stranger, and then making, you know, in sales parlance, making the ask, asking for the phone number. And both of these, both Tim Ferriss and the friend that recommended this, they're just trying to make this into a game and trying to make it easier to get out of your comfort zone, to make an ask, to be okay with rejection, to be okay having someone say no. And I see more and more, especially in entrepreneurship, but this applies to sales and so many areas of business, you need to have that thick skin. You need to have the ability to push for a close. And both that 10% discount rule and that, you know, not leaving the bar without a phone number, they're hacks at trying to get to that. So listen to that Tim Ferriss interview. I'll put the link in the show notes, but that was another thing along with this theme of like, how do we build up a tolerance for failure? The next one, if you're listening to this live, you're gonna have to wait until January 15th to listen to, but episode number 147 with the founder and CEO of Sport Clip Haircuts, which is a franchise that has now 1,700 franchises, a gentleman by the name of Gordon Logan, who was the CEO and founder of this company. He started in 1993 and has grown it to over 1,700 franchises. A truly incredible human being. I did the interview earlier today, and it is a very compelling conversation, regardless of your interest in entrepreneurship, franchises, or anything. And one of the many things that Gordon talks about in this interview, he talked about small failures to avoid the bigger failures. Or the phrase that he borrowed from a book was, you want to fire bullets before you start firing cannonballs. And what he's getting at in that is in his, or what I took away from this was, in a business setting, you want to build up tolerance for failure, but you want to try and keep them smaller. tiny experiments. You experiment with the bullet to get the aim right, to make sure that it's worth the resources of firing a cannon at it. And he talks about, you know, that, you know, you want to save your resources for the shots that you know will work. And so this is on my mind right now as I think about failure, because it's, yes, adopting and cultivating a tolerance of failure, but also getting savvy about failing small so that you can fail on these little things and test things out and learn to try and avoid the bigger failures. And I thought that was an interesting contrasting viewpoint. So take a look, keep an eye out for episode number 147 with Gordon Logan. It's also an experiment I'm doing with video. We did this interview with video, and you will be able to see if you watch it, Gordon wearing a legitimately large Texan hat. He's an Austin man, and he owns it. And so double the reason to watch the video on that one. Last one on failure before moving on. Another thing that's on my mind is a book that I just finished last night called Failing Forward. And I've read this for myself, but also with the intention of doing some cliff notes for an episode. In episode 142, you'll get the cliff notes on Failing Forward, but a fantastic book. It is 150 pages, efficiently used to literally give you exercises and stories of thinking about how to shift your state on failure, and plenty of research to show how vital it is to shift your state on failure. And you've probably heard in another episode this thought of, I believe this is Thomas Edison, and I've got a sticky note. I'm looking on my desk right now, a sticky note with this, but his quote was, if you want to increase your success, you need to increase your rate of failure. You need to increase that rate of failure. You need to fail more often and faster. And I imagine for those of you who are on active duty, this is a concept that runs counter to a lot of the traditional culture of military. Maybe it's changed since I was in, but I don't imagine so. But I love this thought of, like, as you think of your civilian career, you need to shift your relationship to failure. You need to embrace failure and learn to pick yourself up faster and learn to go on faster. And for those of you who listen to the show for a while, you know, I love audiobooks in learning, you know, and reading Shoe Dog about Phil Knight, or listening to The Everything Store about Jeff Bezos from Amazon, or listening to Elon Musk's biography. In all three of these, you see that these, you know, these people, they do have a different psychology. They are able to face massive failure and not take it personally and move on. Google around and find any interview with Richard Branson from Virgin. He has a great episode of the show How I Built This, and he talks about he at one point was competing with Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and he reached the conclusion that it was not a viable business, and he talks about how the very next day he shut it down and he moved on. There was no ego involved. There was no shame. There was no, like, oh man, how am I going to live this down? It was, this no longer makes sense. It's done. We spent, you know, probably hundreds of millions of dollars, I'm guessing, and they moved on. And you can see that for a businessman like Richard Branson, that is an unbelievable asset. The ability to stick your head up and have your head beat down and get back up. If you get more at bats, you have more of a chance of success. So it's a little bit of a soapbox, I realize, but I think that there's something here that I can't yet articulate fully. But when I think of this interview with Todd Connor, with Eric Stites, that phone, the podcast with Tim Ferriss, the interview with Gordon Logan, and this book Failing Forward, these are five different things I can think of to at least start to approximate some articulation of how vital I think this is for the veteran community to shift our relationship with failure, to embrace it, to learn from it faster, and to get up quickly. The second of three things that are just kind of thoughts at the tail end of 2017 here, the next one is around honesty and around self-assessment. One of the themes that I've heard in 140 interviews now is learning what you're good at, learning and being honest with yourself about where you excel and where you don't. If you've listened to episode 100, my very own story, my interview with myself, which was awkward, you've learned about, you know, for me recently in the last couple of years, and this is, you know, this at the point was like five or six years into running a venture-backed startup, realized that I'm not actually a good manager and not interested in becoming a good manager. That throughout my time at the Naval Academy, my time in the Navy, and then at business school, I told myself this story that I was great at managing teams, that I was great at managing people. And after 5 years of running a startup, realized I love leadership, but I'm not a great manager. I'm not great at holding people accountable. I'm not great about having difficult conversations. I'm not great about seeing someone not perform and without emotion, without anger, having conversations that are frank about performance need to change or you need to be out of this company. And I've seen in these interviews, I've interviewed great managers and they do that. They do that without emotion. They do that with care. They do that with dignity. And they do it very effectively. And they're able to get 10% more out of, or you know, even more than that, out of their team. And it's a skill set. It's a skill set that's highly desirable. But I had to be honest with myself and realize I'm not a great manager. So I either need to pair with someone who is, or I need to make sure I'm not in that role. And that's after 2 years of business school and 5 years of civilian work experience coming to this realization. But it makes me even more an advocate of this thought that we as the veteran community, we need to be brutally honest with ourselves. And we need to be able to self-assess ourselves. And it will change over time too. It's not a once and done, you take a quiz and you know this is what you're going to do with your life. If you've listened to these interviews, you realize people change their career all the time. I've got another upcoming interview that you will get on January 17th with Bill Angelani, episode 148. This dude is the king of career shifting. He's worked in startups, high growth startups. He started his own consulting company. He's worked at a consulting company. He's worked in airlines. He's been incredibly successful. And from an outsider's perspective, his career looks like a puzzle. It looks like a spaghetti mush. It looks like not a very clear path. And so this self-assessment process, the reason I think it's so vital to develop the skill is you're going to have to apply this throughout your professional life. So the two different resources I wanted to point you to on this theme. Again, this is something it's top of mind. I'm not able to really articulate it very well yet, but these are the two things that I think might help you learn, and hopefully this will help us together articulate better what I'm trying to get at here. The first one, again, is Todd Connor. He talks about the difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset, between, you know, thinking that you are constantly learning and able to grow versus thinking you've got the skill that you've got and you're going to find a career. And I think it's so vital what he's talking about here, that as you think of your next career, to really adopt this growth mindset, to realize that until the day you die, you can learn, you can grow, you can adapt, and you can evolve, and that that mindset will make a critical difference for you in your career. And the people that might be in the military, even if I've interviewed so many people with over 20 years of service who go on to other incredible careers, careers that I am envious of. And so to ever think that you are set in your ways, that you are set in your career, you are not only wrong, but you are harming yourself in that decision. And so I think that Todd did a great job of articulating that in episode 139 and talking about adopting that growth mindset. The other one is someone I referenced previously. So just quick aside, Gary Vaynerchuk, he's written 4 or 5 New York Times bestsellers, high school D and F student, never went to college. He worked in his dad's wine shop throughout growing up and started a YouTube channel and a lot of very innovative marketing. This is, you know, back in the 90s, I believe, or the 2000s, and grew his father's liquor store from a $3 million annual business to a $60 million annual business in under 5 years. I would encourage you to check out his podcast. I've been binging on it recently, and I would encourage you to give it more than one episode because for most people, he is very off-putting. He's a guy from New Jersey that never went to college, and very often in his podcast, he comes across as that. And I would say he is one of the most motivational and most informative and educational podcasts that I'm aware of right now. I think that you could pick at random any of his podcasts and you will walk away with some sort of learning about, he's big on hustling, just really, like, one of the things I like he talks about is, you know, take a 10-year perspective on your career. Quit trying to get ahead and rich right now. Think in terms of 10 years and work your ass off. That there is no get-rich-quick theme, there is no easy path, and the way that he has become, has over $100 million is he works like a madman. And I think it's such a refreshing thing to hear, because so often the lesson, I think, in popular culture is get-rich-quick, and I don't think that's possible. But one of the reasons I bring up Gary Vaynerchuk is I think he will educate you about a lot of what's going on in marketing and in startups and technology in the world, just massive trends. But I also think that most veterans are no foreigner to working their butts off. We as military veterans are very well acquainted with working around the clock, going without sleep, pushing our minds, bodies, and teams beyond what we think is possible. And I think if you can take that as an asset and couple it with what Gary Vaynerchuk talks about in his podcast, I think that you will be dynamite. You will be unstoppable. So again, take his stuff with a little bit of a grain of salt. Give him some leeway. I think that his message is incredible. I also actually think his delivery is exceptional, but just know that the delivery might be off-putting for the first couple episodes. And I'm going to link to a particular episode in which he is also particularly annoying. It's an interview with Ray Dalio, one of the most successful investors in the history of investing. Ray Dalio is interviewed by Gary Vee, and Gary comes across like he's coked out of his mind. He's like super on edge, and Ray Dalio is like kind of like a Zen master in ways. So it's a very big contrast, and you're going to be like, dude, Gary, shut the F up and let Ray talk. So just go into it with that caveat. But listen to this interview, because Ray is an incredible human being. But about 34 minutes into the interview, he talks about being honest about what you're good at. And he says, vulnerability is where we vulnerability is where we fail. We need to uncover where we're vulnerable, where we are not good, and make sure that we're covering that weakness. And I think that you'll be impressed by the entire podcast. But check out episode number 275. There's a link in the show notes. And I think it's a very powerful message when it comes to this thought of honesty and self-assessment. The last piece that I wanted to bring up is a TED Talk that I listened to recently at the recommendation of my cousin Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. There's a TED Talk by a lady named Mel Robbins, and I'll add the link in the show notes. It's a 20-minute video that has gotten 12 million plus views, and the title is How to Stop Screwing Yourself Over. And again, this is a little bit more in the motivational psychology area, but I think that this is a great, I don't think that there's a single listener to Beyond the Uniform that wouldn't walk away inspired by this 20-minute video and with a new perspective on whatever you are doing in life right now. So a couple of things that I liked about her talk is she talks about how we as human beings are never going to, quote, feel like it. We are never going to feel like working out. We're never going to feel like eating healthy. We're never going to feel like taking that uncomfortable step. We're never going to feel like asking for that 10% discount. It's about forcing yourself to do these things. And as you force yourself to do it, you will, you know, there's a great quote, you know, when you take that first step, Providence rises to meet you. And for those movie buffs out there who have seen Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, you'll think of that scene where Harrison Ford steps into the chasm and there is actually ground underneath him. If you haven't seen it, that was a spoiler, but if you haven't seen it in like 20 years, you're already late to the show. But anyways, there's this thought of, you know, once you take that first step, the energy and the desire rises to meet you. And for any of you who have gone for a run on a snowy or a rainy day, you know what I'm talking about. Or when you've gone into the gym, even though you don't feel like it, you know that after a few minutes, it just takes a few minutes or a few seconds. But once you get past that initial hurdle, you do feel like it. And so she talks about, you know, when we feel stuck, it's just a signal that you need to explore and you need to grow. When you feel stuck in anything, just take that as an indication. You need to start exploring and growing and pushing yourself. And the last piece of this that I love, I've been using this recently, she has what she calls the 5-second rule. And she talks about cultivating an instinct to action. So as an example, when you're, I don't imagine most people struggle with this, but when your alarm goes off in the morning, you have 5 seconds to get out of bed. Your feet need to be on the floor within 5 seconds. The alarm goes off and you're up. You're not snoozing. You're not setting an alarm. You're going for it. There is research that showed that the majority of people who are highly successful get up before 6:30. So set your alarm for 6:28 and give yourself 5 seconds. She talks about being at networking events. And I think this is something that would resonate with a lot of veterans. When she's at a networking event and she sees someone interesting and she has that instinct to talk to them, she has 5 seconds and she needs to go talk to them. Because after 5 seconds is when the self-critic comes in. After 5 seconds is when we start to make excuses. After 5 seconds is when we start to give ourselves a pass. So build that muscle. Build that muscle to approach that interesting person, to ask that question in a meeting, to volunteer for that assignment. Don't give yourself the 5 seconds to let all the critics and cynics in your head come in and give you a million reasons why you shouldn't do it. Go with your gut and develop that instinct around not hesitating. So that's my three thoughts around willingness to fail, honesty and self-assessment, and this TED Talk, which I just thought was very compelling. I wanted to just take a few minutes at the end here to just kind of give you some quick thoughts on 2017, a look at 2018. I would love any thoughts, comments, reactions on this. You can email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io. Leave a comment in the comment section. Tweet at me, post on LinkedIn. So many different ways to get a hold of me. So as of looking back on this year, it's been a great year for Beyond the Uniform. Over 53,000 listens to the show. That's across 91 episodes that were published this year. Those 91 episodes included an astronaut finalist, someone who motorcycled around South America, a managing director at Citi in finance, an author, a brewer, a sports host, my own story in episode 100, medical school, NFL player, politics, counterterrorism, how to podcast and make $205,000 per month with John Lee Dumas. I haven't cracked that nut nearly, but JLD is a great one to listen to, an Academy Award nominee. I hope if you take nothing away from this show, it is that you as a veteran can do anything. I don't care if you've been in the service for 30 years or for 3 years, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do in your civilian career. There is absolutely no limits to what you can achieve. And the corollary that no one wants to talk about, it is probably going to take 10 times longer and 10 times more effort than you imagine. But the reason I say that is I firmly believe that if you who are listening go into your transition or go into your second job or your third job or your fourth job with that mindset, whether it's true or false, whether you go into with the thinking that I can do anything and it's going to take 10 times longer and 10 times more effort than I think, that in and of itself will make it easier because you're not going to be frustrated after 2 months when you're not put in a manager position. You're not going to be frustrated after 9 months when your startup isn't making a cent. You're not going to be frustrated after 2 years if you're not running the company. It takes longer to get to where you want to go, but you can get there. And that's why in these previous pieces, I really strike on a lot of these things around mindset, because, you know, my belief borrowed from Tony Robbins is this is 80% psychology and 20% skills. So start finding the way to hack into your psychology. Find the way to overcome your fear of failure. Find the way to become more honest and critical in your self-assessment. What is ahead for Beyond the Uniform? Well, first of all, a lot more interviews. The month of January, you are going to have interviews coming out of your ears. You will have 3 episodes a week, so you're going to have more than enough to consume. Just an FYI, I'm going to actually be on a silent meditation retreat for a week when a lot of these episodes are coming out. So if you are commenting like a fiend, like I hope you will, and you're not getting a response, don't be offended. But I'll actually have an episode that I'll record after doing that about silent meditation retreats, why I think they're so great and why I would encourage you as a veteran to do one. So you've got a lot of interviews coming out, especially in January. And I'm trying to act on the survey data to start casting a wider net. It's been difficult, to be honest, to get a hold of venture capitalists who are veterans. Real estate people who are veterans. I've had a lot of people go silent on me, but I am heeding my own advice, eating my own dog food, and I'm not letting it bother me. I'm still going after people, but expect some wider interviews in 2018. I'm experimenting with video interviews. My interview with Gordon Logan, the Texan hat-wearing gentleman, in episode 147 on January 15th. That will be an experiment in video interviews and whether or not you enjoy that. And if not, no worries. It takes a hell of a lot longer to edit them. But I'm going to put that out and see what the response is. So if you like it, let me know. As many of you know, I'm experimenting with events in 2018. I really think that there's a need and space for online events. So the veterans and consulting, the reprogramming, other things like that, expect more of that if it gets a good response. It seems like a way to add more value in a different format. Data has seemed to have struck a chord, so it's actually very time and finance intensive, and so I'll probably hold off on the data in the first part of 2018, but it's something I would like to get back to. I think there's a ton to do there. Let me know your thoughts on that as well. And, you know, on a personal note, I'm very tempted to spend more time on Beyond the Uniform. Right now, it's very difficult to do so just because financially, this is definitely a loss on finances, and you know, takes a fair amount of time. Happy to continue to doing that indefinitely, but in order to justify more, I need to crack the nut on how to, in some way, monetize this to at least cover the cost of production, so that I'm not losing money each month. But in the short term, that's fine for now. I look forward to your feedback. If you have thoughts, recommendations, encouragement, email me, tweet at me, post on LinkedIn, post on the show notes. I would really love to hear from you. It looks like about, you know, between 300 and 500 people listen to every episode. It's actually a lot, but you'd be surprised. Not a lot of that is a vocal group of people. So sometimes I'm a little bit in a vacuum here, wondering what lands and what doesn't. And I've got just a couple data points to go off of. So know that if you respond, your voice will be outsized reaction to, because there's not a lot of feedback I get. And so the feedback I do get tends to dictate where the show goes. I hope you had an incredible 2017. For those of you who are on active duty, thank you for what you are doing. I don't say that on the show enough, but I appreciate the sacrifice that you are making and the things that you are doing to serve our country. And my intention for the show is in some way to give back to you, to make it easier for you to figure out what you want to do and excel at that. And I know, I take my inspiration knowing that there are people listening to this that are going to change the world. And if I can have one small part to play in that, I will be very, very proud. So thank you for what you're doing. I look forward to an exciting and exceptional 2018 with you, and have a great remainder of the year. I will see you in the new year.